faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane,
it's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi everyone, I'm Stephen Biscotti, and you're listening to the Saturday Morning Superman Show, your podcast about Superman in animation across generations. Today we're joined by a very super guest, and that is Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel, someone who needs no introduction, someone who, if he isn't on your Superman podcast, are you really even having a Superman podcast? Luke, it is so great to have you here.
Thank you so much for that wonderful intro. You've done me proud, and I've got a lot to live up to now, but thanks for inviting me. I'm a big fan of the show. I'll explain a little bit later on why I've been listening to your podcast in particular, but I'm ready to have a fun super chat about a lot of stuff.
Well, I really appreciate having you here, and also I know you have so many things going on in your life right now with preparation for the Dural Challenge, and so just the fact that you're here and that we're finally getting to speak with one another, it's just super special, and I can't wait to begin our conversation.
Oh, well, I'm honored. It's always nice when I can sit down and speak with a fellow Superman, Supervan, and ambassador of our favorite hero. But it's always nice when I'm a guest on somebody else's show, as I don't always have to do as much work. So it's a lot more fun. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Is this the moment where I say that when I'm done with the audio, I'm going to be sending it over to you to edit and do everything for me?
Of course. I will find the time. Not a problem at all.
Well, Luke, again, thank you so much for joining the show. I think for anyone in the Superman community or in the community of like-minded individuals that celebrate the Kryptonian power set in the DC world, you are so well known and so well established as one of the premier ambassadors to this character. And there's so much goodwill that comes through your enthusiasm and your love and your passion for everything Superman in media, from movies to comic books, to TV shows to animation. And that really stands out, because I think something that I've noticed personally, that Superman fans just happen to be some of the nicest, good-natured people all around. And I love talking to Superman fans because, you know, some have been fans since birth, some joined later on down the road. And I'd love to hear your story about where it was that you first were introduced to Superman, if you have those early memories with you, and what it is about the character that speaks to you. I'd love to hear that story.
Of course. Well, I mean, you know, I've shared it a few times in the past, but you said it beautifully, is the fact that Superman fans across the board, I've had the great fortune of speaking with many people from all over the world who love comics and Superman particularly, and they're all just wonderfully nice people. I think when one starts to share their opinion online, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, opinions can be sometimes be a bit of a dangerous field to open up when you want to talk about it. But I've always had great time speaking with fellow Superman fans, and it's why I wanted to embrace that side of my life more by becoming the Geek of Steel and adopting this online persona. Like Superman has Clark Kent, I've got Luke Bug, but I've also got the Geek of Steel. So they both sort of go hand in hand. But for me, I was a bit of a late bloomer when it comes to the world of Superman. And I've shared the fact that on one fateful Sunday, many, many years ago, I was watching, just by chance, an episode of Smallville. And it was the pilot episode on a channel over here. And I was like, okay, this is a fun new show. I've not really heard about this. I got to enjoy the storyline. I got to enjoy the characters. And from that, I became hooked on this TV show. And when the first season ended, I wanted to know more. I wanted to learn more about the characters and the storylines and about Superman in general. So it's when I reached out to some fellow friends and said, look, I want to start reading comics. What Superman comics should I be reading? And from that moment, I've never looked back.
Well, I'm glad that you never looked back, and I'm also glad that it was Smallville that really helped, you know, create the foundation for your Superman fandom. I think Smallville happens to be one of the best versions of Superman in media, and the fact alone that it went on for 10 seasons and they really captured almost every aspect of the comic book mythology is still something that I feel we might not ever get anything close to that ever again. And the fact that as a Superman fan, as Superman fans that we have that show, it's something to be really grateful for.
I mean, you put it perfectly. I mean, there are so many different avenues you could go down when creating a Superman TV show or a film or a comic. And sometimes it's impossible to do so. And I think Smallville had a very big task of doing that. But over the 10 years, they were able to address a lot of the big storylines and some of the smaller characters as well. Over the years, there have been some Smallville guides that have been released that really sort of dive deep into sort of the behind the scenes of those episodes. But if you're a fan of Superman, if you're a diehard fan of Superman, one that likes to know every single detail about that hero and the Superman mythos, Smallville covers it in some way or another, whether it just be a name or an Easter egg or a cameo. You know, it's Smallville has literally got something for every Superman fan, and that's why it's such a big part of my Superman life.
Oh, it really does have so much for Superman fans within it, and exactly how you had said that, how it really speaks to the mythos of it. I watched Smallville, from season one when it debuted here on the Channel 11. And at the time, I think with most people was familiar with Superman. I knew the basics that, you know, Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter, Lois Lane, and all that stuff that we all tend to just know from such an early age, where it's just like we know who it is, but we don't necessarily know like the stories behind it or the reasons why, but we just know the iconography of it. And as somebody that really grew up within the shadow of the Christopher Reeve movies, where to the extent that Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, was really my first introduction into Superman, Smallville was fun. And I liked seeing those early stories of Clark Kent. I liked seeing him in Smallville, the relationships with Martha and Jonathan Kent, Lana Lang, and all of that. And it was really sometime after Smallville where, when I started going back to the comics, I was so impressed with just how much from the comic books and from the history of the comic books were in the show. And I don't think it's any stretch of words to say that Smallville really exists as this masterwork of Superman on television and in live action. And I think for anybody that's looking at getting into Superman or looking to explore Superman on film, Smallville has to be pretty high up on that list.
I think so as well. I mean, it's got everything, as you said. It's sort of it's got the early stages. It's got him growing up into a teenager, into a man, leaving home, going to Metropolis. Yes, if you have the time, please sit down and watch all 10 seasons of this fantastic series. There were some long seasons and some long episodes, but you really do get the whole package when you sit down and watch Smallville from beginning to end. It really does have it all. And for, you know, I was a young man when Smallville came out, and for me it was my show. It got me into Superman, but it also opened my ears to a lot of new music, which is what I loved about Smallville. There were so many different songs that came out of each episode that it was my go-to escapism. If I wasn't watching the show, I was listening to the songs that were featured in the playlist. Not just that classic Somebody Save Me theme tune that everybody has to sing along to when they start watching this show.
I still listen to that almost on a weekly basis. It's the soundtrack for that show was so great. What I loved about how Smallville existed within that early 2000s era of television is that music was such a big part of dramas like that. And so we ended up getting this wonderfully curated, you know, mixes of like Smallville and Metropolis and all these songs just in that service to show about the Superman mythology. And so to know that there are plenty of songs from like Remy Zero to Depeche Mode that I will forever now listen to and think of Superman, I think is one of the best things ever.
There was once a moment when I was such a diehard fan of Smallville that if I recognized a song playing on the radio, I knew what episode it was from, what season, what happened next, because there were some fantastic tracks that really stuck with me, whether it be a very happy scene or a very sad scene. It was just musically and visually, this show, it gave so much to the viewer that it's hard not to look back on any of those times when watching the show to feel happier, to feel nostalgic. And we're very lucky when it comes to entertainment these days. There are so many superhero TV shows, whether it be on Disney Plus or on regular TV. You've got something for every fandom. And, you know, you've got your Gotham, you've got Wonder, you've got Falcon, you've got all these wonderful TV shows based on comic books. I feel that, yes, we did have, as you mentioned, there were the Adventures of Superman and Lois. But for me, without Smallville, none of these shows would exist to what they are like right now.
Oh, I'd very much agree with that. I often look at superheroes in live action in very much the way that I look at comic books, where you've had like a golden age, silver age, a bronze age. And I know that's a big part of like the Marvel conversation, where when you think of like Blade and then X-Men and Spider-Man, mm-hmm. where you had these sets of movies that existed that predated, you know, the MCU in the way that we now know it. And there always were these like eras where, oh, like, you know, you had all of these movies and then you had some of like more of like, maybe not, I wouldn't say weaker films, because I think we're both geeks and in our ways that we love it all, it's just the fact that we're getting to see this in live action and in animation and in video games, just to see these worlds come to life so beautifully done, that to say that, oh, well, this was terrible, it's like, no, it's like a dream come true.
It is. And I mean, we both love comics. We love stories. We love being told a story. But I think when it comes to movies and television, you are getting told a story by somebody else, by a whole team of storytellers. So I would normally go into most situations, whether it be a TV show or a cinematic experience, to be sit down and I would just switch off my brain and be told a story by someone else and be taken on their journey, their adventure. And that's why I love all these different formats that we are getting, because we are spoiled for choice. I've got a list of shows that I need to catch up with, and it's hard to find time to watch them, but they are all there waiting for me. And I think right now, as a comic book fan, it is a fantastic time to be alive. We get high points, we get low points, we are able to look forward to the future of great content, but we can look back on the past of where we've come from. Putting it back to Smallville, you know, always hold on to Smallville. We have got this world, I feel, because of the hard work and dedication that show gave to the world for 10 fantastic years.
Oh, completely. And especially if you look at how what Smallville led to, especially right now, as how we, I think, refer to it as like the Arrowverse on television, with like Arrow and The Flash and Black Lightning and Legends. So much of that came really almost immediately after Smallville had ended, especially with Arrow. And then you look at everything that Arrow led to especially now how we have Supergirl and we have Superman and Lois. There's so much of that that really just kind of came out of all the work and the love that was put into Smallville and really creating, you know, a wide and global demand for more superhero stories on television. And it's amazing to think at how back when Smallville aired, you know, you didn't have all of these shows like across the week. You only had this one program. And now I think to be growing up, especially, you know, to be the age that we were at when we were enjoying Smallville, to think of being at that age now where every single day of the week you can have a different story from a different area in the Marvel universe or the DC universe is just so, I'm still enjoying it and thrilled by it. And I could only imagine, like, myself, like, the mind of, like a younger man, like, you know, a younger Steven, you know, where you're a little bit of a younger Luke, just, like, taking it all in. It's just so incredibly special.
It's almost quite overwhelming. I mean, we've got all these fantastic series now that we can all watch and enjoy and keep up with. I don't think I could keep up with it now because some of the storylines can be so involving, so exciting. And then to add more to the pile, you have these crossover episodes where, you know, this episode's coming up. And if you've not watched this episode of Gotham or this episode of Supergirl, you know, or The Flash, you've got to sit down and catch up quick. It's like when you get in the comics, there'd be a little editor's note at the bottom, like read issue 65 to find out why this happened. You've got to go back and watch all these TV shows. Whereas with Smallville, it was a lot easier for me because I could just watch the next episode that came out. And we would have to wait a long time before any new episodes were to come out. Those gaps when we would wait for the next season felt like an absolute eternity. And now you can just watch another TV series whilst you wait for your next favorite show to be on. So yeah, today we are, the geeks are inheriting the earth, and those that appreciate streaming entertainment are really in their absolute element and are very, very blessed.
Oh, completely. And in so many respects, I'm somebody that's always been a big fan of mythology. In fact, I just rewatched Disney's Hercules last night. Oh. It's one of my favorite of the Disney movies.
Fantastic soundtrack as well.
Completely. Go the distance. All of it. It's so good, isn't it?
Fantastic. It's, again, one of those Disney films that doesn't really get much love. You've got Hercules. You've got Emperor's New Groove. There's films there that, again, now that Disney Plus is a thing, all these films are on there to watch and enjoy. But I think in the depths of my attic, I've still got all my original Disney VHS and DVDs. But to go back to, you know, nostalgia is always going to be an easy way for companies to make a little bit of money when things are on hard times. And I will always, always pick nostalgia over something new, which is why I love going back and watching the original Superman cartoons, watching the original animated series, and again, just going back and watching a Disney film that I've not watched for a few years. I can still go back to it, hit play, and maybe not hit every single note, but I'd be able to remember every word of the song.
No, I love that so much. And I think that does speak, it does speak volumes to the fact that nostalgia is very important. And especially as we get older, to really hold on to the things that meant something to us, that inspired us, that invited us to just imagine, you know, the worlds that were bigger than what we could experience, but just something that we could feel a part of. One of, of course, the many reasons why I enjoyed Disney's Hercules so much is, again, this is a mythological figure being interpreted in a very Superman kind of way. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you're seeing Hercules do all these feats of strength in animation. He has like a little blue cape. And it's just like, oh, this is kind of like Superman. And I really, really dig it. And I think to now fast forward, you know, from like 97 to 2021, where we've had, you know, Superman Returns, and we've had Justice League Action, and we've had Superman the Animated Series, and we've had all these other different versions. I don't know if it's too bold of me to say, but I feel like Superman and the mythology of Superman in many respects has almost surpassed like the mythologies of like Hercules and stuff like that.
Well, he's been around for so long. I mean, he's almost like the Coca-Cola logo. You could go to any place in the world and show somebody that Superman emblem, and they're going to know who it is. They may not be able to speak the same language as you, but they can identify what that Superman logo is and what the Superman logo means. You know, that constant battle for good, doing the right thing, just trying to be the best person that you can possibly be, whether you be a lowly photographer that works for the Daily Planet or this kid that's been sent from an extinct planet that has not necessarily chosen to live on this Earth but has decided to defend it. There's so many different Superman stories over the years, but at the core, it's always about the fact of choosing the best thing to do, the right thing to do. It may not always be the most logical thing to do, but it's always about looking inside oneself and trying to come out as the best version of yourself, which is one of the many reasons why I love Superman.
He's just represents just the optimal, the best of us and of everything that we could aspire to be. I love Superman so much for all those same reasons, that it's just a story about a guy being good for the sake of good. And so many times in my own day, I often think, you know, well, is this what Superman would do? Is this, you know, the decision that he would make, be it at work or in home life? And one of the reasons why, again, I love going back to all the TV shows and the films and the cartoon episodes, because it's just like that little, you know, almost like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, you know, just bowl of cereal where you're just being so inspired and uplifted and you're filling your day with such positivity and hope that no matter what you encounter, just there's always going to be the sun, you know, rising at the, you know, at the start of the day, or there's always going to be that light at the end of the tunnel. And you really just can't give up. You know, there's always going to be something to just hope for and to champion for.
Very well put. And I mean, I'm often got into a, let's say, heated debate sometimes with other comic book fans, whether they be Batman or Iron Man fan or Captain American fans. It's always fun. It's never a dull moment being a Superman fan, because a lot of people, they would all normally ask why. First of all, they would come out with these sometimes fun statements that Superman is a boring character. If you think that Superman is a boring character, you need to sort of assess your own personal situation first of all, and then look deeper within yourself. I mean, everybody has an opinion. I've been on social media for over 10 years. I'm very well aware of people's opinions, but everyone has their own. And for me, Superman is not a boring character. He doesn't have boring stories. He's always had interesting stories. Sometimes they've been very topical. Sometimes they've been very controversial. But there's always a fresh Superman story out there. Yes, there have been some that have been remastered and retold in a way. But if you look back at all those fantastic Superman Elseworld stories, whether it be True Grit, whether it be Kingdom Come, whether it be Red Sun, there is just so much Superman stories out there that you don't really have to be a Superman fan or a DC Comics fan to enjoy them. Each one starts and ends with just a fantastic story. And there's so much potential out there for more stories. Everything nowadays is being tackled in comics. Some very sensitive subjects and some still very silly topics. I still want to see Superman beat up robots and dragons and go back in time. And I also want to see how he faces modern day crises. And that's what is great about all these different forms of entertainment, whether it be comics, whether it be movies or cartoons. It all goes back for me to Superman, whether it be these modern day fantastic movie tales, the animated cartoons, or the Superman radio plays. Superman has been just such a phenomenal force of entertainment over the years, and there is so much more to come.
Oh, completely. And I really just cherish what you had said about that in regards to the stories ranging from more fantastical stories to where Superman's battling robots or dragons or mad scientists to more topical stories where, you know, I think just of like Joe Kelly's, like, what's so funny about Truth, Justice, and the American Way, which, you know, of course, was adapted into Superman versus the Elite.
Yes.
And so I think what's so great about a character like that, such an icon, and that's as iconic as Coca-Cola, as you said, as that logo, is the fact that Superman across generations will always mean something to someone. And it depending on what era you're in, speaking like almost to like the Fleischer famous studios era of the Superman theatrical shorts, you have it where he's battling mad scientists and he's battling these very wild, very pulpish, very sci-fi stories and villains, to then when you enter that World War II era, he's really just taking on, you know, the war effort. And because of that iconography of the character, he really could almost, in almost a religious sense, he means something to different people. And it's interesting to see a character like that exist. And then it's also very exciting to see that there are so many stories that, okay, maybe you don't like the war era Superman, but there's that very sci-fi pulp era of Superman. And, you know, if like you don't really like all of the New 52 or Rebirth, you could always go to the Elseworlds where it's very contained, as you had mentioned Kingdom Come or, you know, Mark Waid's Superman Birthright, where you could just read that and get everything that you want from Superman and be content with that. And I think that that's such a wonderful aspect of Superman and so many of these other characters, in the sense that there is always going to be something that speaks to someone. And if you just take the time and allow an open mind, you're going to find something. And I think for me, in very much the same way, when people say the character is boring, he's too vanilla, why is he so overpowered? It's just like, but you're missing the point of Superman. You're missing conceptually what the Man of Steel is all about. And if you're just, if you're that close-minded, if you're like, nope, this isn't for me, I don't like it, that's fair. That's completely okay. But if you take the time to maybe find the right story, there definitely is going to be one that's going to speak to you, and it'll be like, that's it. I get what Superman's all about. It's almost like that Lex Luthor moment at the end of All-Star Superman, where he finally realizes, like, I got it wrong, and I can see exactly how Superman, you know, saw everything. And it's that like, really, you know,
I see it all
powerful.
Now. Yes. I have clear vision. I can see it.
Yeah, and it's exactly that. So I actually kind of want to use that as a segue, because in speaking of Superman taking on robots and all of that kind of stuff, from Superman in animation, you know, we have it from the start of the Fleischer Famous Studios era in the 40s to the Ruby Spears Superman series in the 80s to, I think, something that we all collectively hold very dear, Superman animated series in the 90s.
Yes.
Have you had a particular favorite in regards to Superman and animation?
Now, it's animation for me has always been a big part of my life. My granddad got me into the sort of the Looney Tunes cartoons way, way back in the day, and I still can't turn off Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. Just because, not only because of the fantastic writing and the silly antics, but just in the background of all those cartoons, it was incredibly detailed and beautiful, very dry mountain landscapes. So going back, as you said, to the original Superman, the cartoons that came out way, way, way back in the day, if you sit down and watch those today, it's almost like you're watching a Pixar animation. There is just so many details over the years. It's hard not to love the early stuff. But coming forwards, you know, yes, growing up and watching the Superman, the animated series, watching Batman, the animated series, and getting lost in that world, I think they didn't make it over to the UK. They didn't do that popular over here. But over the years, I've spoken with so many people like yourself that have grown up on a Saturday morning and a Sunday morning to their breakfasts and, you know, sitting down with that adopted babysitter, the television, and watching these fantastic TV shows, and those being a part of your weekly life, to sit down with these characters that you know. You're going to have a TV show that starts and you're going to get closure at the end of it. Every now and again, there might be a two-parter, which makes it even more exciting. But to sit down with either a 10-minute cartoon or a 20-minute cartoon, or more recently with these animated features, you know, we're getting full-length films now. But we get a beginning, we get a middle, and we get an end. And it's great to be taken on this story that we might know where it's going or we might not. Recently, I mean, I mentioned before, one of the comics that I was told to read when I was getting into Superman was The Death of Superman and The Return of the Supermen, two iconic comic book stories. And they have been animated a few times over the years. More recently with Tim Sheridan, who did a fantastic job. And I had the great fortune of seeing those films in the cinema screen. And I was with some friends and fellow bloggers, and I'm easily excitable, Stephen. I get very excited in movies or TV shows. And there were times when I was grabbing the sides of my chair. I was looking at my friends thinking, I know what's going to happen next, but I'm still excited. It's the fact that animation can be so expressive and so experimental. And so I'm always happy to watch anything that is animated, because you are going to be getting, you're going to be able to see anything. Yes, we do have some fantastic CGI, But I think there's something more detailed and more respectable about animation because there is so many people are involved with the whole process, whether it be a fantastic voice acting team or an animation department or a directing department. There is just something so magical about animation. And that's why Superman in cartoons will always be a big part of what makes me happy. And I'm ranting now because you've got me talking about such a fantastic subject. So I apologize if I'm talking for too long, Stephen.
No, not at all. I love the enthusiasm that you have for the character. And I just love getting all of that, your own personal insight into the character, because not only is it something that I share on many levels, but also there are other nuances that just really have me re-inspired to think about the character. And I think that's always what's so fun talking about heroes like these, especially Superman, because it's sort of a tangent, but it's also sort of something that kind of connects, is the fact that what I love about social media, especially in the fan community that we both are very proud to be members of, I love when people post collection pictures of their of their stuff.
Yes,
because to me, we all have our collections, but maybe it's a piece that you don't have, or maybe it's a way that they have it set up that maybe you don't have it set up. And I find it so inspiring because it's like you're not only getting insight into who the person is and what this character means to them, but also it's just kind of like, oh, maybe I didn't really think of it that way, or, oh, that's kind of cool. And I love talking about it because it's very much the same way, where you're just getting such an insight into who the fellow is, who the person is, and just what they love about the character and what excites them. And maybe it's the same things that excite you, or maybe it's a very different kind of way that excites you about the character. And so I say, you know, go on, you know, continue. I do want to add in regards to with Superman and animation, I, across doing the two seasons of the Saturday Morning Superman show and beginning work on season three, I've really loved Superman in cartoons from when I was a kid. It was the Fleischer theatrical shorts that I actually grew up with. That was probably, if I could remember correctly, my first introduction to the character, where I had like a VHS tape that had like Billion Dollar Limited and probably The Mad Scientist on it, those like two episodes.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, again, growing up with like Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, to rewatching the Christopher Reeve, Dick Donner films, to then waiting almost an eternity for Superman Returns, and then waiting another eternity for Man of Steel. It's exciting because I feel like Superman, especially as I've been doing the show, I've begun to feel exceeds and just soars in animation. And don't get me wrong, you know, you say, Steven, like, do you want like a Man of Steel trilogy with Henry Cavill? It's like, absolutely. I would never, never, ever say no to that. But also, I would say that, like, are we going to get two more Superman Man of Tomorrow films from Tim Sheridan and Chris Palmer with Darren Criss and Zachary Quinto? It'd be like, oh, yes, please. Because it's just, there's something about Superman, that world, and just the unlimited potential of animation where you could really do anything and take you to places just beyond concept and thought, that you can, yes, do that in movies, but almost that hand-drawn animation and all the work that's going into it. And it's the marriage between directing and writing and voice cast, that there's such a wonder to it that I think maintains that childlike quality to Superman, where you're just in awe of the Man of Steel.
I think we all pretty much, I mean, certain generations now, we have always grown up with cartoons of some sort, whether it be very early days or growing up as a 90s kid with Nickelodeon or the Cartoon Network, growing up now with fantastic animated features. It's something about sitting down and watching a book or a comic come to life on the screen. You can easily sort of differentiate what is a movie and what is a cartoon. And I think now, as a fan of animated features, we are getting treated a bit better. You know, there's been always difficult to, many years ago, to be a geek, as it were. It's hard to come out of that shell, and we were, a lot of people held it back, whereas I've, and yourself, have embraced it. and so is the world, which is one of the many good things that has come out of social media. As you explained about people showing off their collections, that is how the Geek of Steel really came to be. I use my Instagram as a way to document my collection so I didn't buy the same thing twice. Then I started using the hashtags and got a bit of a following, and then met like-minded followers across the world that have become friends. And so through that, by admitting the fact that I am this geek, I love this part of my life. I love Superman. I love comics. I love this way that stories can get told. It's embracing that. And for me, going back to it, yes, it would always start off with the cartoons. They are very exciting. But as you quite rightly said, if a Man of Steel 2 and Man of Steel 3, 4, and 5 with Henry Cavill does happen, I'm going to be very, very happy. Do not get me wrong. I still love the Superman movies and the classics and Superman Returns and the Man of Steel sequel, Batman v Superman, that didn't have that much Superman in. It gave me enough of my hero to be entertained. And with the Ultimate Edition, it's still a film that is very, very dear to me.
Oh, very. That's one of those topics that almost I feel like I need to do a whole season on, because what a Man of Steel, what Henry Cavill, with that whole world that Zack Snyder created in that 2013 picture that continued on. Mm. That was really such an impactful movie on me, on my fandom, on my love for the character. It was actually the 54, I think Superman Animated Series is like 52, 54 episodes. It was like 54 days leading up to Man of Steel that my mom, dad, and I, we watched one episode of Superman Animated Series a night leading up to Man of Steel. And of course, that whole year from probably January to June was spent reading nothing but Superman. So that's when perfect. We were in the theater watching that, it was really just an unbelievable experience. And to this day, I routinely say that Man of Steel is by and far my favorite film of all time. I think it's so exceptional. And so following Zack Snyder's Justice League earlier this year, I just hope every single day that in some possible way we'll see Henry Cavill with the cape once more. But if that is in fact the last time, I'm just so glad that we got to experience it and we got to live in this moment from 2013 to 2021 and just got to become excited with each film and with the rumors that would build between Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. And that first trailer where you're just soaking up every Superman detail, and then it switches to Batman, and you're like, okay, Batman's cool, but we want more Superman. it's such a magical, exciting world. Mm. And so yes, anybody listening, I think you can rest assured that we definitely want more Henry Cavill as Superman.
We do. There's certainly never a dull moment, not only being a Superman fan, but also being a DC Comics fan. There is always something going on that can either get you very, very excited or very, very depressed. There's no sort of happy medium. It's always a whenever you wake up to a new day and see whatever's trending on Twitter, there's always a topic to get excited or to be talked about, which is why it's fun to be an online persona, as it were, because everyone expects you to have an opinion on the next big thing. And I do have opinions, but like yourself, I like going back and enjoying the classics as well as the new things to come. And yes, it's hard for me when normally what people will say or ask when it comes to Superman movies is, what do you prefer, Superman 78 or Man of Steel? Now, they're two very, very different Superman films, and it's hard to pick out a favorite, and it always changes. But what never changes is the fact that I can always sit down, put on a Superman film, and just be taken out of my mind of however I'm feeling, and just sit down, relax, and be taken on an adventure and watch my hero just entertain for however long that film may be.
Oh, wonderfully said. And again, that's another area that I feel very much the same way on. For Superman in live action, I would say that Henry Cavill is by and far my favorite. But it's just that from Cavill to Reeve to Routh to Tyler Hoechlin, currently on Superman and Lois, it's just so fun to see that character come to life in live action and exist in all different ways, because Reeve is very different from Cavill, and Cavill's very different in many ways to Hoechlin, and they're all wonderfully different quality representations of who this character is. And so I think no matter what your preference might be, there's always going to be something hopefully inherently good about and fun just watching, you know, Superman, you know, the movie, or Superman 2, or, you know, Man of Steel, or Batman v Superman. There's always going to be something added to the character that's going to excite you. And one of my favorite aspects of actually Superman Returns is when you find out when Lois is with Superman and she's like, "Oh, I forgot how warm you are." And it was just kind of like, oh, that's a kind of a really cool aspect to Superman that we never really thought of before, that he runs really, really warm. Mm-hmm. And also where it's just like, he never lies. And it was just kind of like Superman Returns added two little things that maybe to general audiences, just you wouldn't take it to heart. But those were two very specific things that just stuck with me that I always remember and now take with me with every new journey that I have with Superman in animation or in reading the comic books. And I just, it's so wonderful that we also have such a great history of the character from through film and animation and what have you. I think what would be really wonderful is if we get that video game, that long awaited solo video game.
Don't. It's something that I've spoken on this about on podcasts before, many a drunken evening at parties or in pubs, talking about how a Superman video game could work. And we've got all these fantastic open world games now where we have a possibility where it could be done. And there's always been rumors at Rockstar Games normally that have said, oh, we might be making a Superman movie, or stay tuned for this. And yes, there are some games coming out in the future that do feature Superman, not in his best light. I think they normally, when he is in a video game, he's normally been hypnotized, or it's a different version of himself, or he's a bad guy. I think normally when we see Superman now in any sort of media, his eyes are red normally straight away. You don't see his Clark Kent eyes. You see the mean red eyes of Superman, which, yes, it is a very cool look. Don't get me wrong, but he has a lot of other fantastic facial expressions that can be used. And in a video game, yes, there are many elements of Superman and Clark Kent that could work in a video game format. And yes, this podcast could turn into a 3-hour edition if we start talking about the potential of a Superman video game. There's been some very good Batman video games and some very good Spider-Man video games. It's an area where I think Superman could really, really dominate. But alas, we haven't had it yet, and I'm already starting to feel sad thinking about it. Anyway, let's keep it jolly, shall we?
Right. It's like silently cursing me, like, you had to go there.
You did. Thanks for that. Just take that knife out of my back, why don't you? That's fine, yeah.
I will just say that I'm at a point where there was this period of time a few years ago where you would get a rumor and it would seem real and you knew it wasn't, but you would still hold on to it. And I remember there was this one period of time where I think all of us in the Superman community, to even Krypton's Cameron, Segel, where it was just like we really all thought like there was going to be this moment where it just seemed like the rumors were really more than a grain of salt accurate, and just – it was going to be some announcement at like E4 or some like convention, and like we were all waiting for it and it just didn't happen. It was like, okay, that we can't let that ever happen again. It's just, if it ever happens, it happens.
It happens. Not, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one of the many reasons why when I do share Superman news or movie news on my media channels, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, it's only official news. I'm not into fan theories or gossip, because I've been hurt in the past, whether it be about movies or video games. And I don't want anybody else to feel those feelings. I want to be as honest as the Daily Planet, as it were, when it comes to my news that I deliver to the masses. And sometimes I don't want to deliver a certain piece of news, but then people will be like, well, why didn't you post it? And I said, well, if you already know about the news, I'm not sharing anything new. But it's a double-edged sword and a coin, rather. Most swords are double-edged. But anyway, I want to be as honest as I can when sharing anything online. So, yes, if there is a Henry Cavill rumor out there, trust me, you don't have to tag me in the post. I am fully aware of it. I have Google news flashes coming up my phone all the time, whenever it be about Henry Cavill. And yes, I adore Henry Cavill as Superman, but I am a fan of him as a person, as an ambassador for Superman, for what he is doing as an actor. I love him in The Witcher. I think he was fantastic in Sherlock Holmes and Mission Impossible. He is a wonderful actor, and I wish him nothing but the best for the future. If I was to say, do I want to see him be Superman again? Of course I do. I would be revoking my Superman fan club card if I said any different. But I am happy that he is happy doing whatever he is doing right now. He shared some very honest words online recently about the thoughts of others and how other people's opinions should not be a part of your life. Your life is the one that matters. So if you want to do something that makes you happy, do it. Whether that be starting a new adventure, starting a new career, or going off and just enjoying life the best you can, do it. I feel Henry Cavill is a fantastic role model and one who I inspire to be like. And you may have seen recently that he replied to a comment on his Instagram post when he was talking about the Durrell Challenge. And that is why I am doing the Durrell Challenge this coming Sunday, the 23rd. Because when Superman tells you to get up and do something for charity, you pretty much have to do it, Stephen.
And with a cape, no less.
With a cape, no less. Yes, I have tried it on. It's heavier than I remember. So I've got even more respect now for Superman. So I'm going to be walking up and down the beach where I live because it's a nice long stretch of land. And it's going to be windy. My very clever brain is telling me that, well, if it's windy going one way, it'll be windy going the other. And the wind will be behind me, helping me push forward. Now, if it rains, that's another situation, because this cape that I've got is one of the capes from the Justice League movie. So it's quite heavy, and I'm guessing it's going to get even heavier when wet. Right. So I'm up for a challenge, and, you know, Henry is depending on me now, and that is what I've got in my head. And also, so many wonderful people have donated to my Just Giving page, and the money is going to the Jersey Conservation Center, rather, the Jersey Zoo, and Henry is an ambassador for that wonderful charity. And I've raised as much money as I possibly can for a great cause. And yeah, it's been a fun adventure. I've stepped out of some comfort zones for this, and I cannot wait on the Sunday, the 23rd, to walk up and down with a cape, probably listening to the Man of Steel soundtrack to give me some more energy.
I mean, what better thing to do than to listen to Hans Zimmer's score? And even like, I'm thinking of like the cape being wet in the rain. You know, Superman managed to take down the World Engine in Man of Steel. He fought Batman on a rain-soaked rooftop. So I think you'll be just fine. I think it's so wonderful that you're doing the Durrell Challenge. This is something that I know you and I have been familiar with since Henry Cavill first started participating in them and championing that and the jersey and where he's from. And I think it's so also fun and exciting that here he inspired you, and this has pushed you even further in just your pursuit to do this challenge in raising money for this, which I think is amazing that you reached your goal. And again, full circle, I feel like, you know, there's just something very special about Superman fans, especially Superman fans that really get what the heart of the character is all about. And from Henry Cavill being just this wonderful ambassador and wonderful representative because he truly carries himself as Superman throughout, you know, his you know, life and throughout his posts and throughout his work, which I think makes it even more exciting just to support anything that he does and any endeavors that he finds himself in, to someone like yourself, Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel, who's really so inspired by the goodwill and the good nature of the Man of Steel, that here you've taken it upon yourself to take on this fitness challenge, but also to do it for a cause.
I may not be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, Stephen, but I can get off my butt and I can walk 13 kilometers. And who knows, maybe next year, I have been talking about this recently with some people for the Durable Challenge, that I may make it over to Jersey next year to get more involved, to visit the zoo, to see the great work that they have all done, but also take part in the Durable Challenge. So that is another adventure for another day, but I'm looking forward to dominating this challenge, first of all. It's going to be a fun event. And yeah, Superman has always been there. It's always been a part of my life, whether it be picking up a comic or watching a film or representing Superman. Yes, I am a Superman super fan. There is still lots more stories out there that I have not read yet. There's trivia that I don't know, and I would never admit to being the most knowledgeable person on the subject of Superman and Clark Kent and DC Comics. All I know is that I adore Superman. I adore the message that he gives, and I want to do my best to be not necessarily the best Superman fan, but to be the best Superman ambassador. I want to be able to be the best me when I put on a Superman t-shirt, whether it be the classic S, the Christopher Reeve S, or the Henry Cavill S. I am representing my hero, like my football team or my baseball team. If somebody sees me wearing a Superman t-shirt and I'm throwing trash on the floor, or I'm sitting on a bus and not letting a little old lady sit down where I'm sitting, I am not being the best me, and Superman would be upset by that. So that's why I'm always doing my best to improve myself.
I think that that's just, it's so beautifully said. That's something so emblematic of even the words that Mr. Cavill just recently, you know, posted too, just to, you know, as we basically, you know, have both said, you know, don't be a dick. And
yeah, that's the translation of it. It was a very long Instagram post, but that was the gist of it. Just don't be a dick. Be the best person you can.
And I think that that's something that's so important, that whether, you know, you're a fan of Superman or Captain America or Batman, or whether you're not even, you know, a fan of these particular characters, just that, like, you know, it doesn't cost anything to just be respectful, to be polite, to try and help out someone, to try and lend a hand when you can, to be present. And, you know, just to think of how much energy it would take to be so negative and so mean and just to insult and to belittle and stuff like that. It's not only such a turnoff and an ugly quality, but it doesn't cost you anything just to be decent. And the pursuit of just being decent is very Superman-like. It's very heroic. It's very hero-like, as from any characters from mythology like Hercules to anybody in the Marvel and DC universe. And I think that that's, at the end of the day, what it's really just all about. You just want to be good. You know, you just don't, like, why would you not want to be, you know?
I mean, there are many other superheroes out there that have got very different qualities. You could be that very, I mean, Batman is a badass. Don't get me wrong. He's very intelligent. He's got lots of very cool gadgets. He's charismatic. He's suave. That's not me, okay? I am much more like Clark Kent. I'm clumsy. I sometimes say the wrong thing. The only difference is I'm not putting on a front like Superman is. I am much more like Clark Kent than I am like Superman. But I aspire to be better. That is what Superman has shown me over the years. And yes, I could be an Iron Man fan or a Hulk fan or Captain America fan or a Wonder Woman fan, and my life would have been very different. But I appreciate those heroes and those icons of entertainment for what they have brought to the world of comics and entertainment. But for me, it's always been Superman, and it always will be Superman.
So let me ask you this. For somebody that's listening to the show, for somebody that has a vague understanding of Superman, maybe, you know, they're not as well-versed in the films and the cartoons and the comic books, what would be your recommendation in film and animation and in comic books that, like, look, if you want to find out who Superman is, I feel like this is where you need to start. Do you have, like, an idea as to where you would pick, like, if it would be one film, one animated series or animated feature, and one particular story or run in the comic books?
As I'm looking at my bookshelf right now, all the different graphic novels that I could pick out and give you many, many different reasons why they would work. I mean, for movies, if you wanted to understand Superman as a character, you're looking at Superman 78 and you're looking at Man of Steel. Both still very different interpretations of the character, but you get to know more about the character from those two films. They're both very different, but for a younger audience, you know, I wasn't a Superman huge fan when I was growing up, but I knew who he was. And I can remember being sat down and just watching that 78 and believing a man can fly. Sitting down and watching just fantastic feats of movie magic and seeing Christopher Reeve flying through the air for really long distances and me trying to look for the strings, trying to find out where that magic ended. And I couldn't spot it. And I still can't spot it to this very day. It's just a wonderful, it's one of those films that I can always put on when I'm feeling a bit blue. And that film will turn me around and give me such fantastic feeling. Comic-wise, Superman Birthright is a fantastic tale. Superman All-Star Superman is a fantastic tale. Oh, there's just so many Superman interpretations out there. Emperor Joker is one hell of a big book. But Superman in that tale is just a fantastic character. And I'm just always happy when a new book comes out and we get a different way of Superman. We get to see a different Clark Kent. We get to see how he faces different situations. But for me, there's Superman 78 comic coming out in a few months' time now, which I'm very excited about. But if I was just someone to say, look, I want to get into Superman, what should I read? I would say what I was told and sit down and read The Death of Superman. Not the most jolly or positive of stories, but through that book, I was curious as I wanted to find out more about the world that didn't have a Superman in it. How would the world react? How would the villains react? How would the Earth react when one of their greatest allies is no longer around? Now, it's a very big book, but if you are dedicated to being a Superman fan, then you will give this book a chance and sit down and really just be taken on a very, very involving story, which is very difficult to put down.
I would agree. I've read it. I read Death of Superman back when it had released. And then quite a few years ago, I read the whole omnibus containing everything. And it was quite daunting and challenging, but I was surely glad that I did it.
It's a book that I cannot put down. As I said, I've got several copies and several different varieties of the book. But the one that I always read is the one that I first read, and every single page is dog-eared. It's been to different countries with me. It's one of those books that just I can get lost in and stay lost in until I've finished it. And then once I've finished it, I can go on to the next volume and just enjoy it.
So then I guess I would want to then revise my question as to favorite Superman in animation or animated film. I would say in regards to Death of Superman, we've had Superman Doomsday and then the Death of Superman in the animated film more recently. Mm. Do you have a preference of the two?
It's the modern version. It's the two modern versions with the Reign of the Supermen as well, because I felt that was, I mean, I love them both. Again, it's another interpretation of Superman. It's my home team. Of course, I'm going to support them no matter what. But the modern interpretations, it really sucked me in. And yes, it's it's a comic of biblical proportions. It's hard to involve every single detail, every single sub-character, every single scene. But I feel that the more recent remakes worked harder to honor the original storyline and the original comic writers.
I would agree. I do enjoy both. I enjoyed the voice work from Adam Baldwin in Superman Doomsday to Jerry O'Connell in the more recent films. And like you said, it's home team stuff. It's a work of biblical proportions, and it's an epic story being told, be it you enjoying it in the comic books or in film animation, from Superman Doomsday to the death of Superman to the reign of Superman. It's almost required reading, required viewing. They both add so much to the story. I think Superman's future is quite bright, and I think no matter where you find yourself on that spectrum in the multiverse, be it you're a Reeve guy, a Cavill fan, if you're excited over any of the new takes, there's always going to be a Superman, I think, in existence that's going to speak to you. And with every new comic or cartoon or film, nothing's ever going to take away the previous stuff. It's only going to add to it. So I feel like if we get another Cavill film, great. If we don't, it's only going to add whatever comes next to the legacy of those films. And so I think you'd probably agree, look forward to the future much more with optimism than trepidation or disappointment as to, oh, well, we still haven't gotten the video game, or, oh, when are they going to announce a sequel to Superman Man of Tomorrow, which I thought was wonderful, by the way.
Yes, sir.
And I think it's just kind of like, if you look forward to the future with an optimism and to the sky, maybe you too could fly.
And that, I like that very much. Put that on a t-shirt. Here's the thing. Many, many years ago, when I first started fooling around on Instagram and making a name for myself, I made a few edits with the old and the new aspects of the Superman universe. And this was before I would put my logo or my copyright on anything. And I came up with a phrase that was, embrace the future, but respect the past. And now I see that everywhere now. I'm thinking, now somebody else might have had the same idea. It doesn't matter. I'm glad that that phrase is out there because, as you said, as long as we're getting more Superman content, our superhero lives on for the next generation of Superman fans. Superman was, pretty much the first major comic, the first major superhero movie, the first major superhero TV series with Smallville. And as long as we are getting more content, our superhero lives to fight another day, which is why I'm always invested with whatever happens next when it comes to Superman.
I think that's a perfect concluding note for this special episode. Luke, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation with me.
I've had so much fun, Stephen. I love what you do. As I said, I went on a practice walk yesterday for the Daryl Challenge, and I was listening to your Zack Snyder episode that you recorded, and it was a fantastic hearing the excitement in your voice, hearing the highs and the lows that I felt as well. So I just knew today was going to be a fantastic episode, and I think I'm going to have to repay the favor and invite you onto the podcast of Steel. If not, we just need to chat more online, because this has just been an absolute tonic for me. I've had a wonderful time.
I did too. You're somebody that's a pillar in the Superman community and in just that the super family community. So it's just really such an honor that you graciously accepted my invitation to be on the show and to speak about this character across media and across, content. It was just really, really special. I would love to speak with you again. It's something that I would absolutely cherish. I'm really glad that we had this opportunity right now. Luke, tell us, where can we find you? If there's any specific things you want to give a shout out to before we close, let's hear it.
Well, you can go to thegeekofsteel.com. That is where I'm posting a lot of my podcasts and interviews and videos. I'm pretty much everywhere on social media. Just search for The Geek of Steel or Luke Bug and you will find me there. I'm always doing something new, whether it be interviewing someone that I've got a lot of passion for or they've brought entertainment to the world. I feel that everybody has got at least one story inside them, which is why I love speaking with people that I haven't really spoken with before, but also speaking with old friends and people like yourself around the world who become aliases on the internet, and then we become good friends as well. Things that are coming up in the future, something that's a bit exciting, and I would say an exclusive for your podcast, Stephen, is that on Friday the 16th of July, I am going to be heading to London because the world is slowly starting to open up again. And I'm going to be attending an event at the Royal Albert Hall, which is a fantastic building in London. And there I will be sitting down to watch the 1978 Superman, the movie, whilst the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra plays the music at the very same time. And just talking about that is giving me the goosebumps, buddy.
I feel like the Planet Krypton track is playing somewhere, those opening notes.
Don't. And it's something that I've been planning with the company for a while, and it's something that I am – it's a soundtrack that means so much to me, and it's equally as impactful as the Man of Steel soundtrack. And I'm looking forward to creating some articles and some podcasts in the upcoming weeks that are dedicated to not only John Williams, but also Hans Zimmer and just Superman music in general, because there are so many songs out there. But yes, I am all over the internet, and just look for The Geek of Steel and you will find me there.
So everybody, of course, be sure to follow Luke Bug, The Geek of Steel, across social media. Of course, that will be all in today's show notes. Thank you so much for joining us for this wonderful chat regarding Superman and the Man of Steel. And as always, everyone, be peaceful.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.